3.
From the Interim Administrator, Behavioral Health Division, submitting information regarding the day-to-day operations of the Behavioral Health Division and Plan of Correction. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Colon.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, Jim Kubitschek will give a brief overview of the report. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would begin this with a question. The report as it was written in the first person by Ms. Eilers that was going to be directed to the board on the special meeting that was called on Monday that had to be canceled due to the fire. So this really was the questions were in response to questions that were issued by, I believe, the chairwoman. How would you like me to issue the report since it's written in first person? And I really wasn't the author of it, but I can certainly convey the information.
Well, I think the same concerns apply whether Ms. Eilers is here or whether she isn't here, which is why I asked Mr. Colon to continue to go forward with this.
Uh-huh.
And so you being the person in charge of the day-to-day operations, I guess you can deliver this. If there's something that Ms. Eilers had in this that you are doing differently, then you can let us know.
Certainly.
But I think the main concern here is we want to know, regarding the day-to-day operations, what is being done out there, and who is responsible for the day-to-day operations? And if there's multiple people, then who are those individuals?
So I guess we'll just go through the question by question, and I'll just answer them. The first question that was submitted is, what were the most recent findings of immediate jeopardy? The most recent findings of immediate jeopardy occurred on Rehab Central, and that's our nursing home facility. It's completely separate, both in licensure, operation, and oversight from the acute inpatient units. And as of June 12th of 2013, the Rehab Central was cleared of all federal citations. I did also submit an overview of those citations. This overview is what I submitted, gave last month. Would you like me to go through that again?
Not unless anyone has a specific question.
Maybe go.
Okay.
So then we're going to go up to, that's really page 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, 3 starts here, these things that we're doing. Additional occupational therapy, client's single room status.
Okay, so we'll, I'll talk about some of the corrective actions that are continuing. The Behavioral Health Division staff and leadership are working diligently to correct the issues and continue to correct the issues that were identified in that central citation. All clients that are, as clients are being discharged, we're keeping them in single room status in order to avoid roommate conflicts. We are adding occupational therapy staff to provide more therapeutic programming off of the units, which further helps to decrease that census and the acuity on the units. If we can get them out, get them off the units and engaged in therapeutic activities, that significantly enhances the unit milieu. Any resident inflicting injury to another resident is removed from the unit and transferred to a facility that can more appropriately meet their needs. Typically, that is the acute inpatient service. A special incident investigative team has been established and meets every business day, comprised of clinicians and the Rehab Central administrator. And that daily investigation team really gathers together to make sure that the investigations are being done appropriately, that anything that requires reporting to the state is indeed reporting, and that those behaviors are integrated into the behavioral treatment plan.
Additional therapy nights and weekends.
Sorry?
Additional therapy nights and weekends.
Yes, there was also, I missed that one, that there's additional therapeutic programs that have been added on the weekend shifts and on the off shifts. Off shifts are defined as the PM shifts or the late afternoon. the BHD administration is going to continue to address the unit milieu. We have our administrator doing multiple rounds every day on those units to make sure and that things are going as they're supposed to be going. The next question, has the county's corrective action plan been approved? Again, Rehab Central is in full compliance with all state and federal regulations. The acute inpatient units have not heard formally from CMS if those corrective action plans have been approved. However, they have been out and conducted follow-up visits related to the environmental tags, and about 80% of those environmental tags have since been removed. We just haven't seen it in writing yet that the clinical issues were corrected, and again, those clinical issues related to the acute inpatient service that the feds cited were related to treatment plan. But we've heard verbally that those treatment plan corrective actions have been approved, and they told us verbally that they will likely not return for a verification visit on those clinical sites. And that's, again, the CMS. Hilltop's plan of correction was approved June 19th, and on July 2nd, we received notice that the Hilltop units are in full compliance and that no follow-up visits will be conducted. Again, no, as I mentioned last month, typically they don't return for follow-up visits if they are of the citations are of low severity. So, can you provide the next question is, can you provide the board with a written copy of any corrective measures, memos, other documents? That's all in Legistar. It's a stack to stick, so it's a lot of information. As the county moves towards increased community-based services during the next few years, what plans do you have to increase the immediate quality of care and safety at the complex? This is where we talk about the Behavioral Health Division continues and will continue, has been and will continue to be extremely concerned about the quality of services and safety in all the levels of care, inpatient and long-term care units, as well as throughout the network of community-based services. We've added quality assurance staff in prior year, and in the 14 budget, additional quality assurance staff are being requested. In addition, we're continuing training related to safety and BHD policies and procedures. That continues and is ongoing. We are now using a nationally recognized system of de-escalation and clinical intervention called the MANT system. It's excellent, and we have gotten a lot of positive responses and a lot of positive results from this MANT system that really focuses on intervening early on in an incident, de-escalating that incident prior to the point where it becomes a behavioral emergency. We will continue quality and performance reviews in all community agencies that BHD works with for both mental health and AODA services. And this will continue as the transition continues to more community-based services. All program staff on the units have been educated as to the violations of the plan of correction. They all had to do a sign-off. Many of them went through multiple trainings, 3 and 4 different types of trainings. In addition, Director Cologne and Ms. Eilers sent out a memo to the staff to recognizing the good work done by the majority of staff, but also emphasizing that there will be accountability if the standards are not followed. There's been a number of town hall meetings, which is meetings that was held with Kathy, and I was in attendance at most of them, where staff can be educated as to what's being proposed. They're being talked to about what has happened in terms of the citations and emphasizing the need for ongoing compassionate care. We recognize that improved quality include multiple strategies, including audit, feedback reports, peer review. We're monitoring through our computerized data system, communication teamwork, There's a lot of different strategies that we're utilizing in order to assure and maintain that quality assurance standards. And those efforts will continue as this transition continues. Number five, what recommendations have you made and what steps have you taken to recruit, train, and retain staff? The communication with the staff has been very transparent in terms of the movement towards a community-based system of care. Many staff have indicated that although they didn't like the message, that they appreciated the directness with which that message was conveyed. We're working with the Department of Human Resources to fill vacant positions, and we have recently entered into an emergency contract with a temporary agency to provide nurses in the long-term care units or on the rehab centers. The physical medicine area has also made some key hires and has only one vacancy remaining, which we hope to fill in the next few months. We have signed a contract with a recruiting firm to replace the division's medical director, and I just had a conversation with him yesterday. And that process is going along quite well. He's got a number of candidates, and they are in their vetting process to kind of send us the candidates that would be the best fit for our organization. So there is some movement on the medical director front. We also have now hired a medical director for the acute inpatient service. We have a medical director for the child adolescent inpatient service. So our medical director positions and we still have the medical director for the division who's going to stick around until we're able to hire a new one. So our medical director positions are full for the first time in a very long time, which is to me very exciting. It's a really positive place for us to be in terms of our medical care oversight. In the March 4th article regarding Brandon, the county executive spokesman indicated that the state inspectors had visited the mental health complex 6 times since December and that the county has not been notified of any further problems. That is accurate. Then the question goes on, additionally, in an April 29th memo to the County Board's Committee on Health and Human Needs from Director Cologne, prepared by Ms. Eiler's administration, noted that the psychiatric hospitals cooperated with all state monitoring visits, which included the following 9 unannounced visits. Then it cites the dates. As a result of those visits, no additional continued concerns or complaint reviews have been identified. These statements appear to be in conflict with the February 22nd email from Director Cologne to the board, noting that state surveyors found 2 issues that prompted a finding of immediate jeopardy. Can you provide a rationale for the discrepancy between the noted accounts? So essentially what that question says is that we told you everything was okay, and then at the same time we're telling you that we're in immediate jeopardy. So the statements above under question that I just mentioned are all accurate. They are referring to the acute adult units in that survey that began in November of 2012. The email from Director Cologne on February 22nd of 13 was related to the Rehab Central units. And that was sent out to the board member. In fact, I was involved with that communication. That was actually sent to you while the surveyors were still in the building. So again, it's a separate and distinct program. The acute units were cleared. The acute units were monitoring and in compliance with those acute surveys. But the Rehab Central was a whole separate team, a whole different set of evaluators, and a whole different program. Still all under the BHD umbrella, but they're separate oversight. So that was exclusively and specifically rated. The one where he mentioned the immediate jeopardy was only related to the central survey. In March 23rd of 2013, Milwaukee Journal sent articles noted that the complex was cited for insufficient follow-up after reports of beatings of patients by other patients and 2 patient claims of rape. BHD is unaware of any charges of sexual assault or rape that had occurred in that at BHD that are referenced in this article. We refer all instances of sexual contact to the sheriff for investigation, regardless of the nature or circumstance. To BHD's knowledge, no instance of those reported sexual contacts have resulted in any charges being issued. A key issue here that really I think needs to be pointed out is just the fact that we refer anything and everything that relates to a sexual contact or could be construed as a sexual contact to the sheriff. That's our policy. So we are extremely open, and we're extremely we do it in a very comprehensive manner, reporting all those incidents to the sheriff for investigation. We don't have the ability to make the determination if a criminal behavior occurred or not. That's what the sheriff does. That's what the district attorney does. So that's why we refer those matters on to them. We're not aware of any of those references or referrals to the sheriff's department resulting in any charges of sexual assault. Are the recent reports of alleged violence at the mental health complex accurate, and are they ongoing? The recent reports of violence are related specifically, again, to the Rehab Central units, and they are in reaction to the federal survey that resulted in immediate jeopardy, as outlined in earlier questions. We mentioned in the May Health and Human Needs report that this was a follow-up survey to the state survey. So, again, the state came in January, and then the federal government came 4 to 6 weeks later and conducted a monitoring survey, which essentially reviews the earlier survey that was conducted. This was the first time in the history of Rehab Central that there's ever been such a federal survey, and it's been around for over 20 years. We've had yearly, when you run a nursing home, you get yearly certification visits by the state, and that's what that was in January. That was a certification visit. We did receive, I don't remember the exact number, 4 or 6 standard level citations, which were the low-level citations, and they were all related to what's called an MDS, which is the screening tool that's used to determine whether or not someone qualifies for the nursing home. There was issues with some of that documentation. Then when the federal surveyors came, they surveyed many of the same incidences that were reviewed by the state, and they levied the immediate jeopardy tags. The primary reason for that is the federal surveyors used a definition that was significantly different than the state had been using in terms of resident abuse. We had been reporting any incidences of abuse where there was violence that resulted in injury. And this was done in consultation with the state surveyors, who knew Central very well. They were they knew the system. They knew they were accustomed to coming in. Then when the federal surveyors came in, let me back up. The Central is admittedly not a stereotypical or a prototypical nursing home. It is not primarily elderly, infirm. Residents. This is a younger population. They all continue to meet the criteria for nursing home, but there's it's just a different type of population that we have up in Central. So when the federal surveyors came in, they defined abuse as including abuse that requires reporting as including verbal and other violent acts that don't result in injury, and that's just not something that we had ever been doing. So we are doing that now. Our reports to the state kind of went up significantly initially after these surveys, and now they're starting to taper off as some of these corrective actions are having an effect. Then the last question is, if the reports of alleged violence are accurate, what's being done now to combat it? We've been working diligently to address the issues noted in Central, and some of the steps I've already mentioned that have been taken to continue those to continue the reduction in aggressive behavior. Probably the one factor that is overridingly most effective is just the dispersing of the residents. that there's fewer folks on the units, and we're maintaining that as they're discharged. We're not admitting new residents to the unit. So the trends have been very, very positive. There have been additional violent behavior up there, and I can't sit before you and say that there will be no further episodes of violence, because there's no way that in good conscience I could make that assurance that there will be no further incidents up there. The issue is how we deal with them. Is do we treat them appropriately? Do we get the proper changes in the treatment plan? Do we report those to the state? And are we following the proper investigative protocols? So,
can I ask a question regarding that? Okay, so if we have evidence that if we have lower census numbers on the units, mm-hmm. that tends to help with the increased agitation and increased physical violence, why would we, since we have such a sprawling, building out there, why wouldn't we then look at making, lowering the census numbers on all of the units and expanding them? If it's, you know, if we've said, hey, optimally we should have, and I'm just throwing this number out there, 4 residents per unit or 8 residents per unit. Why not? Because the space allows us, would we not open up other units so that we could keep those numbers small to avoid these type of issues?
It's exactly what we're doing, is as residents are being discharged, we're keeping those units smaller. I'm not sure if that's what you're asking.
Well, I think it's great that we're doing it as people are leaving, but what about for those units that are kept, the census numbers are higher? So can we take a look at maybe making...
There's typically, how Central is set up is there's one unit that we serve most of the residents that have more challenging behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. I believe that unit is down to 14 now, so we're keeping that unit much, much lower. The other units, we don't have as many issues from a behavioral emergency perspective, so those units we'll keep a little bit higher. I don't know that we have units that we can spread, that we can tie into up there that are open right now. Plus, we would also have to staff them. It would be a huge amount of money if we would open another smaller unit. And I think the direction that we are in right now is the right direction. You know, with our one unit now at really almost half census, mm-hmm. We're in much, much better shape than we were.
Okay. Yeah. I think our concern has been and continues to be that, you know, it's not acceptable for when we have these incidents for us to keep continually saying, well, you know, in 2 to 3 years we're going to be doing this. We're closing, you know, as we empty these units, you know, as we're not filling them back up again, you know. That's awesome, but we have to worry about the day-to-day operations and the people that remain on these units. That's should be paramount. The other report that we got, which was disturbing, is the increased use of restraints. So I don't know if you can address that. But there was information in one of these, and I apologize because this is so much paper. But there's we were cited for use of restraints. And right. So is that, and I guess I said an increase, I'm not sure. Have we increased the use of restraint, or what was the citation regarding use of restraint, and how does that fit into the physical violence that's taking place on our units?
I'm not really sure what you're referring to. I think many times the language of those citations, there's a lot of words that are involved in the citation. I'm going to guess that if there is restraint use that occurs on Central, and it could be that when a restraint was initiated that a report was not submitted to the state.
Okay.
That's a guess. I wouldn't want to say that for sure. But our restraint rate has remained fairly consistent, and now it's tapering down.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Supervisor Bowen, did you have something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to refer to the possibility of getting the information of how much that would cost. I think Madam Chair makes a great point, and that we have the room, and I'd love to see the numbers on, especially a unit that has so many challenges, but we know for a fact that a lot of these problems will decrease if we make this move. But I understand it's expensive, but just saying it's expensive doesn't really give me the details or the information to make a good decision on a problem that's so big.
Madam.
Right, because maybe falsely we're believing that if we had smaller units, we could split the staff that are on the larger units now, and because you're saying there's going to be an increase in staff costs. So I, just throwing it out there, because we do have so much. One of the things they always say about BHD is that we have plenty of space. Sure. And so, again, and that was something that Ms. Eilers had talked about, too, when we met with her, is that, if you, as the numbers go down, and I can't remember the specific term she used, but it was just in regards to having overpopulation, basically, of people on our units, which then creates anytime you have overpopulation of people, whether it's in a hallway or on the freeway, it doesn't turn out well. And so I guess we're trying to see what solutions we can do now, because again, what's going to happen in the future is awesome, but we have these individuals that we're responsible for caring for today, and so what are we doing in order to keep them safe? Director Colon?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Bowen, we're on the same page. We totally want to make sure we provide high quality of services so long as we're running the long-term care unit. And we're also on the same page that we wanted to make sure that we decrease our census in these units to not have that density. In fact, in this last budget, there could have been an approach to just downsize or close one unit. Instead of doing that, we spread out the census to have lower census over across the three units that we currently have. So I just want to say we're on the same page in terms of that, and that's how we approach this budget versus closing a unit.
And the other piece is the, we'll call it the decentralization of the residents, is only one. There was many other corrective actions, and I talk about them in this report as well. So while the unit configuration is important, it's not the only thing that we're doing and have done and will continue to do to address this issue.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any other comments, questions, concerns for Mr. Kubitschek? Director Colon, no? Anything else to add? All right. Thank you very much for doing this. I know it was tedious.
No, it's okay.
All right. Item number